Thank you so much. Well, continuing right along with our summer sermon series, Living in the Surprising Subversive Way of Jesus, I want to let you know that as preachers, we're not supposed to play favorites, but I think if any sermon through this series, if you can listen to, I think this is the one. This is really important one today. How many of us walked in today with a burden, something that we've been wrestling with this past week? I think if any of us came in, health concern or stress about finances or a worry about your family, all of us, I think 1,000% would say yes. Anxiety about the future, responsibilities that keep multiplying. If we're honest, I think all of us would say yes, we have these. And it can feel overwhelming. And we naturally assume if we could just have more rest, if we could just have more rest. I don't know how many times I've said, oh, vacation season is coming up. I just can't wait. Finally, when I get the vacation, everything will come together. I will be rested. I won't have all this stress. And then I do go and do the vacation, and then September comes, and it's like a hamster on a wheel. It just, boom, right back. All my problems are still there. And I'm like, okay, this something, what is going on? But what if our exhaustion in life runs deeper than just being busy? How do people, when you say hello to them, what do you say? You say, hey, how are you doing? Busy, right? Who says this? I do. Busy, how are you doing? Busy, busy, busy. We're running here, we're running there. We're always busy. What about our soul? Is your soul busy, busy, busy? How's that going? How is my soul doing? Because we can be busy in life, and yet our souls can be busy, and that's not a good thing. Jesus says that the restful life is not found by escaping responsibility. It's not just going on vacation to get away from it. But somehow the restful life is found by learning to remain connected to God, right? We talked about taking the hand, right? This is how the soul is rested, by taking the hand. Our gospel lesson from Matthew talks about Jesus is talking to burdened people as well. And he offers those comforting words, come to me, all you who are weary, carrying heavy burdens, I will give you rest. And before we hear these words too quickly, because they're so good, the people that gathered around Jesus, they weren't just physically tired like us. Long work days or ordinary pressures of just trying to survive this life. They were spiritually exhausted. Maybe we are too. Too many obligations, experiencing faith not as a freedom, but another duty that we need to fulfill. And they gathered around Jesus, and the religious leaders had slowly drained the people's joy and freedom practicing their faith in God, rule keeping, ritual observance, constant pressure to get everything exactly just so. Anybody do that? Anybody want something just so? It has to be just right. Yes. And faith can become like a performance before God then too, right? And people in this time, they lived these exhausting questions constantly through their minds. Am I enough? Am I faithful enough? Have I measured up? What happens if I do fail? And truthfully, even the disciples themselves weren't immune to this kind of struggle as they walked with Jesus, learning to let go of old ways of thinking that have got them exhausted in the first place. Then Jesus complicates matters even further. He says, now come to me. Now take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke on you. And what does that feel like to you? Take my yoke on you. What does that feel like? Sorry, I'm not looking at anybody. But how does that feel to you? Like another burden. Jesus says, take my burden upon you. You could just think the disciples like, no thanks. No way, I've got enough here. I'm just trying to make it through. Well, a yoke in this time was like training a younger animal. So you were there, agrarian culture, farming. So it's like you have the young animal, and farmers, you know what this is like. You got the young horse, you got the young animal, and you pair it with a more advanced, more senior, more mature animal. You yoke them together, and you're gonna kind of have two things happen. You're gonna have more production, and you're training the young one so they know how to do the job better. So Jesus is saying, take my burden upon you. Be yoked to me. And it's also a way in the ancient world about submission to a teacher. So when you are yoked to a teacher, you would be under this teacher's teaching. You would submit yourself to this kind of teaching, devotion to the teacher, to the, I don't want to say the yogi, but that's getting really different, but you would come under this teacher's set of teachings, and you would be yoked to this teacher. But what the text is basically saying, everyone is yoked to something. Whether it's Jesus, whether it's family life, job, addiction, everybody is yoked to something. And the question is, whose disciple will I be? What will shape my life? What spirit will I allow to direct me in this life? Because a spirit will direct you no matter what. The trouble isn't simply that people are tired. It's that we're trying to carry life and faith and our identity, meaning, all on our shoulders. And it's all on us. And all the burdens are on top of us. And these people had forgotten that God never intended faith to be such an exhausting endeavor. That it was meant for more than just being exhausted. To say that our world right now is weary and burdened is an understatement. Global level, people are exhausted under this weight of suffering, wars that are tearing our world apart, this earthquake, record-breaking heat waves and environmental crisis, lack of water, food insecurity, water shortages, violence in streets, racial and religious discrimination, exploitation of vulnerable people, abuse, scandals, economic instability, growing political division. It's just endless. On the individual level too, many of us are no less exhausted. And if we're honest, the weariness, sometimes it's self-inflicted. We can't say no, right? Who has trouble saying no? Yeah, we can't say no. We fill every possible space in the calendar. We work longer hours. We try to keep everyone happy. We carry responsibilities that aren't even ours to carry, and yet we still carry them. We feel pressure to solve every problem. For our families, for our children, for our workplaces, our communities. I was watching this YouTube video this week, and this guy was telling his story, how he gets up in the morning and he races to get a drink of water. He goes in, he puts his toast in really fast, he pops the thing, he spreads his peanut butter and jam sandwich, toast together, he wolfs it down as fast as he can, he gets into the car, he races to work. He does his job really fast. He doesn't want anybody bothering them. Gets back in his car. He races home. Comes and sits down at the table with his family and eats so quickly, never taking time to smell the roses or be present in a conversation. And I was just like, oh my gosh, is this guy talking about me? Somewhere along the way, exhaustion, we've normalized it in our culture. We said, hey, this is what you're yoked to. This is what life is all about. Busy. As if being overwhelmed proves that we're important. But the deeper struggle goes far beyond having too much to do. We have the pressure to achieve more, to stay productive, to build something meaningful, stay independent. And yet that subtle lie creeps in. You are responsible for carrying your own life. The burden of your life is yours, your future, fixing everything, The burden of proving your value is yours. And this is why we're deeply restless. We've been duped into believing that freedom means independence. And if we're independent, we can't rely on others, and it's all up to us. Yet we were never meant to carry a life like this. But the good news is that Jesus teaches today is that deep rest, true rest, rest in our soul, where we can just be, comes from walking closely with Christ. It means walking closely with God. This is what my life was meant to be. The disciples, the crowds, they gathered, ultimately all of us, we come with our burdens, and he himself provides our rest. He is our rest in life. Jesus is our rest. He will refresh us. God will restore us when we're worn down. Notice carefully, Jesus doesn't say, here's another technique, you know? Here's a self-help strategy. Here's a mindfulness lesson. These are great, by the way. Here's another vacation. Here's another temporary fix, an escape. You know, here's another bottle, or here's another whatever. Jesus offers us something different. He offers himself. He says, I'm here. God is here. This is all you need. Come to me if you're heavy laden and burdened. I'm here. I'm waiting. I've been waiting. I'm here all the time. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, God says. Jesus offers his disciples his own yoke that's easy and light. It's battle tested because he lived it. He's plowed the field for us. And so he knows what it's like. He says, come, take my yoke upon you. It's the way, the truth, and the life. The very communion of Jesus himself with the Father and the Son. You get Jesus, you get the Father, you get the Son, you get this eternal relationship that was there before this world even began. You and I, we get it all. We get it all. We've got it all. Life to the fullest. Jesus invites us to not settle in our lives, but to participate in the life of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. The eternal relationship of love existed from the very beginning. And this changes our lives. Our exhaustion comes from our burden of trying to become something we think we need to be, to spend enormous amounts of energy trying to prove ourselves to others. Jesus says, no, you've already got all of that. You've already met every expectation. You don't have to live up to impossible standards or project versions of yourself to find others' approval. The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, who himself struggled deeply with depression, he was brilliant writer, philosopher, and Christian author. He once wrote these remarkable words in his journal. And now with God's help, I shall become myself. With God's help, I shall become myself. Doesn't that sound right? God's help, you can become yourself. You can be at home in your own skin. You can be at home because the Trinity is with you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can be at home. What a liberating thought. With God's help, I shall become myself. Not what others expect of you, not the image that society pressures you to be, not some impossible standard that you created for yourself, but with God's help, you and I can finally become who we truly are meant to be. No more stressful pretending, endless striving, exhausting attempts to manufacture identity, because we know ourselves accepted by Christ, perhaps for the first time, we are truly free. When we're yoked to Jesus, we're no longer needing to prove that we belong, because the Father already says we're there. It's just learning to live in this relationship, which is hard to do. It's hard to be with God. The Father reminds us you don't need to prove your worth. The Son walks with us, carries us, takes our hand when we cannot go any further. The Spirit whispers continually, you belong to God. You don't have to navigate this all on your own. The restful life, then, is not found when we suddenly life becomes easier, when we go on that vacation and life finally comes together. These are good things, of course, but we're not going to finally arrive where we need to be. Blair's going to show a slide, a guy named Dallas Willard. He's a Christian scholar, and he says, it is being included in the eternal life of God that heals all wounds and allows us to stop demanding satisfaction. What else matters of a personal nature once it is clear that you've been included? I love that. Perhaps this is why Jesus is inviting us into not simply relief from life's burdens, but inclusion in the very life of God. The grace of God begins to confront the world we live in every day, because all of us are yoked to something. If we're yoked to the values of the world, the voices surrounding us will constantly pressure us and not stop. Achieve more, stay busy, prove yourself, be productive, remain in control. But when we're yoked to God in this eternal relationship, we can let go. We can know we're loved. We can know we belong. We can know Christ is with us, and we can get on with our life. Yeah, maybe being productive, making this world a better place. The Holy Spirit is there, strengthening us too, quieting our hearts, reminding us who we are, cheering us on. Everybody needs a cheerleader. We've got one. We've got the best one. The world tells us that we must earn it. The kingdom of God reminds us that it's already been given. The yoke of Christ reshapes the rhythms of our lives. And it's not passive. It's not lazy. It's not doing nothing. Rest is learning to live differently. Rest is knowing that we can trust God beyond the things that we can't control. We can get on with the things that we need to do, but we can rest in the things that we can't control. It means allowing Sabbath, silence, and stillness to become practices that help us in this by reminding us who we are. Perhaps that's the deepest spiritual lesson. We spend so much of our lives living for God that sometimes we forget that God first invites us just to be still and know that He is God. Coming back to that final image of the yoke, two oxen were yoked together. The younger animal learned from the stronger one. It learned rhythm and trust, stopping, and most importantly, it stopped resisting the burden. God's burden is easy and light. Let's stop fighting God's yoke, trying to control, to fix every single problem in our life, trying to carry every burden on our own. Jesus says, walk with me. Move at my pace. Learn the rhythm of my grace. You are loved. Walk with me. Don't walk alone. Amen.